We want to welcome you to St. John's United Church of Christ, located in the Mansion Hill area of Newport. We're glad that you're worshiping with us today. We hope that as you listen to the worship service and see what we have on the video, that you will be part of our worship experience, enjoy the music, hear the sermon, understand God's presence among us this day. Let us worship God.
Thank you. Good morning. Please join me in the call to worship. Come, let us worship God. What shall we bring before the God of compassion? We bring our bodies and spirits, and we are in need of healing. What shall we bring before the God of eternal vision? We bring our dreams and hopes to be fulfilled. What shall we bring before the God of everlasting love? We bring our gratitude and possessions. What shall we bring before the God of all good gifts? We bring ourselves. May our offerings be holy and acceptable to God. Let us worship the one who has given us everything, the Lord of our God. Please join me in a prayer of adoration and confession. Gracious God, we are so often content to sink into the background when you have called us to be bold in the faith. We are so often willing to accept mediocrity, so often to hesitate to risk. Even though we are quick to say that we will keep us safe from harm, we cling to the trappings of this world, as if they, and not you, were our God. O God, we confess that we bury our talents. We confine our grace to ourselves rather than passing it on to others. Regardless of what you have entrusted us, we often envy those who have more. At other times, we do not see possessions as an instrument, and you have given us, but as that of our own doing and very little of yours. We prefer to invest in ourselves rather than in the life to which you have called us as disciples. Forgive us and restore our stewardship to us through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hear the good news. The greatest gift is faith. Faith in God, amazing conditional love and forgiveness, and in our opportunity for new life in Christ. This is grace poured out in our glorious reality for all who sincerely repent of their sin and desire to grow into the fullness of their potential in Christ Jesus. Praise be to God for such assurance and hope. Dearly beloved, believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven now and forever. Amen.
The scripture for the day from the poetry of the Old Testament, Psalm 90, verses 1 through 12. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn us back to justice and say, pardon me, you turn it back to dust and say, turn back, you mortals. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it's past, or like a watch in the night. You sweep them away, they are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are consumed by your anger. By your wrath we are overwhelmed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days pass away under your wrath. Our years come to an end like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, or perhaps 80, if we are strong. Even then, their span is only toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger? Your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. So teach us to count our days, that we may gain a wise heart.
Thank you.
The scripture for the day from the letters of Paul, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Now concerning the time and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in the darkness for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other as indeed you are going.
As we come to God in prayer this day, let us remember those joys and concerns that we lay upon our hearts as we open them to God this day. Let us pray. Most gracious and loving God, you have given to us many gifts in which we may come to know you and your presence. Through the moving strains of music, through a smile and a tear, a sigh and a shout, through laughter and weeping, a prayer, silence, the beauty of a special day and place, we thank you for all these gifts and the meaning of them for each of us. We pray for the church, sometimes present, while at other times seemingly far away. Sometimes we are together and at one, uniting all the various parts that make up the body of Christ. And at other times, we are scattered and divided, torn, hurting, afraid, and self-righteous. Sometimes we are truly serving, while at other times we demand and want only to be served. Sometimes we are filled with your Spirit, which empowers and transforms, while at other times we just settle back and accept what if, afraid and lazy. Oh God, your Spirit catches us and frees us, helps us to be your church, to appreciate the gifts which we are given and shape them gratefully that they may be stronger, serving, empowering, and transforming body in this world, your church. Oh God, we ask that you bless this particular body of believers, the whole worldwide church of which we are a part. Forgive us when we think of ourselves first. Forgive us the foolish price that we sometimes feel, that ours is better than theirs, or more faithful than ours is the way. But also, God, we want you to know our gratitude for the freedom and the variety that we enjoy as members of the church. So we pray for the world which the one in which we live. We pray for food for the hungry, healing for the hurting, peace in those places where war exists. We pray for each of those in their need, that your Spirit may touch them. But most of all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, and offer this prayer in his name. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning. My name is Jan Nepshield. I have the honor of being your president at St. John's United Church of Christ. As we approach the holiday season, we also approach the end of stewardship 2021. It has been a very difficult spring, summer, and fall. However, we have been able to accomplish much in our church, and the entire church is doing extremely well. I know that it seems like ages since we've all been together, but this also shall pass and we can move forward together once more. Today will mark the conclusion of our stewardship program. I hope that all of you have returned your pledge cards, and if not, we'll do so soon. The great things are happening here, and it is with your generosity that what enables us to fund the many programs we have within the church, and we also plan on initiating additional activities as the COVID crisis passes. Your contributions will help many, and we can all bask in the glory of our gracious Lord. Thank you. May the glory of God be with you as we move on with St. John's United Church of Christ.
Our gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of Matthew in the 25th chapter, verses 14 through 30. It's the parable of the talents. For it is if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. So to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. And then he went away. And the one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. And then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 more talents, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 5 talents, and see, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. And his master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I know that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I do not sow, gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to one with the 10 talents, for to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." May God bless this reading, hearing, and understanding of his holy word. In one sense, this parable is easy for contemporary readers to understand because it's about investments and high yields. And those who play the stock market will immediately recognize the value of risk and high reward. It's also readily understandable that the slave who is fearful of the market. But we have many stories about Wall Street that prove how prudent the fearful or cautious approach can be. But on another level, it can be confusing, this parable. Though we know it not to be so, the parable suggests that the realm or kingdom of heaven is about success and reward. So who doesn't want to receive a well done, good and faithful servant after doing hard work and success? But to focus on the work and the reward of the 2 faithful servants and the condemnation of the timid is to miss the central thrust of the parable. The parable is not so much about reward and condemnation as it is about the faithful use of the talents that were given to the servants. Now, the word talent is a biblical word. It refers to a huge sum of money. It's interesting to note that historically, from the time of the publishing of the King James Version of the Bible, the word talent came into English use and came to mean skills or abilities with which a person is gifted. That's not an inappropriate understanding of the talent in this parable, but it clearly does not refer only to monetary investment. It has to do with disciples' stewardship of all that God has been given to us. So Jesus often uses hyperbole to sharpen the point of his parables, and that's what he's doing in this one. The amounts of money that he's talking about are so vast that it's incomprehensible for someone to understand. But the hyperbole holds only insofar as it relates to the monetary sum. If one were to calculate the value of the whole of what God has given to us, it would be too incomprehensibly large. I think about the Lord's Prayer that we pray every time we gather. The fourth petition, we call the fourth petition, and Luther defines it in the Small Catechism, it's "Give us this day our daily bread." And Luther writes that God's gifts are, quote, "everything our bodies need, such as food, clothing, home, money, property, a devoted family, upright and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, honor, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. Growing up and in serving churches, I've done both the Evangelical and the Heidelberg Catechism, so I went and referenced those as well. And the Evangelical Catechism, referring to that, give us this day our daily bread, supplying the needs of our body as well as our soul. And we ask God to make us truly thankful for these gifts. And the Heidelberg Catechism, which I grew up with, says, talking about that phrase, be pleased to provide for all our bodily needs, that we may know that God is the only fountain of all good, and nothing has meaning without God's blessing. So the value is incalculable. So we add those, the various talents, our skills, our capabilities, our capacities, our passions, our spiritual gifts, and you have a graciousness that's beyond understanding or counting. And so the question that begs to be asked is, what do you do with these treasures? And the parable suggests that they should be invested responsibly. They shouldn't be hoarded. They shouldn't be hidden away. And they're not really ours to protect. God is the giver and the master of all gifts and treasures. And God is always in charge of the results of the investments we make of those talents. So it's no surprise that the slaves who invested their talents received a greater return on their risk. So will not the God who gives us talents for ministry also bless them when they're put to good use? And will not the God who formed us in the womb and created our innermost parts bring forth fruit when our gifts are planted as seeds for mission? But the reality is, we don't always use our gifts the way God wants. It's natural that we're cautious with our treasure. In the parable, the slave who did not invest avoided risk out of fear. And that might be our motivation. Suppose we ease up with what we've been given. Suppose we invest poorly and our treasures are taken from us. Those are always possibilities. But what God has given to us, God expects us to bless the kingdom or the realm of God with those talents we've been given. And they belong ultimately to God, to the body of Christ, to the building up of the kingdom. And if the talents are intended for this purpose, it should be no surprise that the master is angered when the talents are not put to use for that purpose. So the many invaluable gifts that are available to God's people, there's one that is more precious than the others, and that gift is faith. But that too needs to be shared. The kingdom or realm of heaven does not exist merely to bring us into eternal bliss. It's here, and it exists now. And people of faith are its current inhabitants and citizens. And the gift of faith is the chief talent that we invest to make sure that this kingdom flourishes. We invest it in our friends. We invest it in our families. We invest it in our workplaces and leisure, wherever. But maybe we don't. And then what's the point that's not doing any good if we don't? If faith is not active, then the words of the parable ring terribly true. For those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. Can it really be that inactive faith will become a revoked gift? Well, that's up to the giver. But the parable gives us this warning that needs to be heeded. It's about warning, and it's about grace. And when the talent is invested in the kingdom, the increase is rich. The faithful servants are welcomed into the joy of the master. They are not passive observers in the master's happiness, but they have an equal share in it. And they're joyful themselves when they see the benefit of what comes from serving well, and they are praised. No truly humble servant will perform out of need for just being looked at, but he or she will serve for the sake of what God expects. The praise is not motivation, but it's part of the joy. Well done, good and faithful servant. So today, as we look at stewardship, let us serve out of love, invest our talents well, Let us not shrink in the end that we're only doing it for praise. We're doing it because we are fulfilling what God has called us to do. Amen. Today we were challenged about the talents that we have, the talents that we have been given by God. How do we invest them? How do we use them? How do we share them with others? We've been asked that the faith is the greatest investment that we have. We need to share that with others that they too may come to understand who God is in this world. So let us go in the name of God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, let us go in peace. Amen.